Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Today is one of those days in which everybody should 100% be in a fantastic mood. We have one of the best sports days that I can remember in quite some time. We have not one, but two Monday Night Football games. Those games don't overlap. So from the moment you get off until the moment you go to bed, there's going to be football on. One of the games is actually one of the more important games in the NFC between the Lions and the Buccaneers. The other one, Seattle, they are hosting Monday Night Football today against the Texans. Seattle is also on the road in baseball for Game 7 of the ALCS. So we have a banner day in sports. Really excited to be here with you on The Drive. Let's do this another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. And we have to talk about one of the greatest dismantlings of another team that we've seen at Arrowhead Stadium in quite some time. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs put hands, feet, knees, elbows, shins, any body part that they had and any weapon that they could get a hold of, they used to absolutely bludgeon the Las Vegas Raiders yesterday. An absolute beatdown. We'll talk a little college football. I get to put my hand up today because my team went on the road and got a hard-fought win in the SEC. No shade towards KU, abide. No shade towards K-State, but I'm the only one that can put my hand up today, and I'm feeling good about that. We got Game 7 coming up, a great weekend in college football. Really excited to be here with you this week as we get you ready for Monday Night Football next week between the Chiefs and the Commanders. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob is here taking you up until 6 o'clock. Let's get to it. But before we do that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. I mean, one friend would be great, but if you could just tell two people to check out the show, you know what? I would greatly appreciate it. And number three, and what might be most important, I need you guys to remember that the open of the show is brought to you by our friends over at The Other Place. So today, if you're looking for a place to watch a little Monday Night Football, a little playoff baseball, the best place to do that while you're getting yourself something to drink and something to eat is with our friends over at The Other Place. It is very rarely that for the open, all you really need to do is just go on ESPN.com and open up the box score. Sometimes I used to try to be a little bit more creative about these things than this, but I don't really know if you need a lot of creativity to just break down the ass whooping that the Raiders got yesterday. Patrick Mahomes was 26 of 35 for 286 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. Geno Smith was 10 of 16 for 67 yards passing. 67. I don't even know how that's possible for you to throw 67 yards in an NFL game. The Raiders, a team that spent a top 8 pick on a running back. They spent the 6th overall pick on a player that many of you feel should have won the Heisman Trophy last year. They ran the ball 11 times for 25 yards. The Chiefs, on their first drive, gained more yards than the Raiders did all day. You know the Chiefs have this phrase, everybody got to eat. Now, I don't know if you know what that means or not, but it just means, hey, we're looking out for everybody. Not one person is bigger than the team, than the group. So if I got something on my plate, you got to have something on your plate. I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of. Everybody's got to eat. I mean, that's what happened yesterday. Everybody in their offense got a chance to eat. Isaiah Pacheco, Breshard Smith, Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, Tyquan Thornton, Noah Gray. If you played for the Chiefs yesterday, you got full off of the Las Vegas Raiders. This was a beatdown. This was an absolute destruction. This is one of the most impressive efforts at Arrowhead that we have ever seen. I don't want to undersell it. You guys remember when we were kids and the Chiefs had a home game against San Francisco and they really went in there and just smacked them up? You guys remember one time the Chiefs were at home against the Atlanta Falcons. I'll never forget this. Brian Waters, he won Offensive Player of the Week. He played guard because the Chiefs ran all over the Atlanta Falcons. That's the kind of thumping that we saw yesterday at Arrowhead. Start to finish. The Chiefs could have put 50 on the Raiders if they really wanted to. It was like the Chiefs were bored. They were trying things. They got Mahomes trying to act. He's acting in the middle of the second quarter. They put in Gardner Minshew to run some kind of trick play that didn't really work, but you really couldn't even be that mad about it because why does it matter? They're going to score a touchdown anyway. The Chiefs, to kick off the game with the three drives that they put together, I don't even know why the Raiders got on the plane. I don't know why they were even there. What was gained? What did you accomplish? First drive, 9 plays, 92 yards. Second drive for Kansas City, 17 plays, 84 yards. Third drive, 16 plays, 94 yards. Grand opening, grand closing, good night. Drive home safely. That's what we saw yesterday. A complete domination on the offensive, defensive side. End of the game. If you had plans at 2 o'clock, you could have made those plans. If your kid's like, hey, I want to go outside and ride bikes, can you come outside with me? You had the third quarter of this game free. Go outside. Play all the catch. You could have went to a pumpkin patch. Could have went to a wine tasting with your girl. You'd never get this kind of free time at 2 o'clock on a Sunday. Usually you're busy or getting ready for something. You had all the free time in the world. I know Geno Smith did. I'm serious. I really can't undersell how bad the Chiefs beat the Las Vegas Raiders yesterday in every facet of the game. Offense, defense. The Las Vegas Raiders ran 30 plays. Not in the first half. I mean in the entire game, start to finish. They ran 30 plays in the game for 95 yards. They averaged 3.2 yards per play. I mean, just, Rob, I know we got to talk about this game for 4 hours, and I'm down to talk about it from 4 hours. There's a lot of players that need to be highlighted. There is a team right now that needs to be highlighted as the best in the AFC, an offense right now that is only the Indianapolis Colts has scored more points than they've scored so far this season, a defense that looks like it's once again top five, and a defense that we have seen shown the ability to really flex their muscle, but this team has a ability that I don't think the last couple of Chiefs teams had. This is a offense that has the ability to completely end you, and that's what we've seen them do the last couple of weeks. They have scored at least 30 points in their last four games. They have blown out three of their last four opponents. This is an offense right now that is gaining confidence by the week. This is a defense right now that has put together one of the more dominant defensive performances, certainly post-COVID. You cannot dominate a team defensively more than what we saw them just do against the Las Vegas Raiders. Rob, as we kick this week off, as we kick the show off today, I mean, there really ain't no need for creativity in this one. The Raiders just got pummeled yesterday by the Chiefs.
We do our social media person, Kramer, every Friday or Saturday, he'll reach out and be like, hey, I need you to do a quick little video. Tell us what the score is going to be, who's going to win and why. It's not some earth-shattering thing we do for social media, but if you follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you see it. I remember I clipped mine, and I didn't even think to myself there'd be a score. I felt like it was going to be a lot to a little. The Chiefs would just handle the Raiders. I had that expectation going in. And even with that expectation, the Chiefs absolutely blew my expectations out of the water. I've never seen a team as helpless as the Raiders were yesterday. It was like a turtle on its back. They were stuck. There was nothing they could do. I watched the 2012 Chiefs and I thought, man, this Raiders team would give that team a run for their money in futility. It was horrendous. The Chiefs scored in the second possession of the game. The Raiders got the ball, crossed midfield, punted. The Chiefs scored. It was 7-0. In that moment, I wish I had done it. I wish I had put them on TV 2 because there was no reason for the rest of the game to have them on TV 1. It was like a scrimmage. I was more interested in the Chiefs and Bears preseason game than I was in Chiefs Raiders yesterday. It is a testament to how good the Chiefs were. It's a positive. It's all those things. But in the best way possible, yesterday was boring because the Chiefs just took care of business.
Just a beatdown. Absolutely what it was. Someone said, can we hear some Raiders, please? I mean, we're working on it. We're trying to compile as much of that stuff as possible.
Do Raiders fans exist? I will tell you right now, as someone who looks for this stuff, Vegas radio ain't really a thing.
I mean, we'll go through their Reddit page. We've gone through their Facebook. I've gone through some fan videos. I mean, trust me. I mean, that looks like a team right now with absolutely no direction. It looks like a head coach right now that is about to just continue to legally steal money from them. He signed a 3-year contract that pays him $15 million a year. We're talking about a quarterback that got a lot of guaranteed money. Last week, the text line was very mad at me when I just said that Aston Jinsey is just having a fine season. The Chiefs put the absolute caps lock on him. He did absolutely nothing in this game. Trey Tucker didn't do anything at this game. I mean, if you name any Raiders in the history, they did nothing yesterday. A big fat goose egg. That's one of the worst losses in franchise history. A franchise that has experienced a lot of losing over the last 25 seasons. They got absolutely bludgeoned yesterday by the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about some of the wild endings around the National Football League. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I would say that there is a formula to this show. Now, some of you pick up on the formula. Some of you just got here. And you know what? I'm appreciative of everybody that listens to the show. I would say that my favorite television show of all time is Sopranos. I would say number two is Chappelle's Show. Boy, do I love the Chappelle Show. I would say number three is probably The Wire. I really enjoy The Wire. I've seen it start to finish probably four times. It's something that I quote in my everyday life. Big fan of The Wire. You know, this week in the National Football League, it kind of reminded me of The Wire. I would say one of the most iconic quotes of the show is, "The king, stay the king." If you take a look at the AFC and the NFC, is that not what we just saw? We just went through it with Kansas City. Kansas City put hands and feet all over the Las Vegas Raiders and beat them 31-0. Now, I don't want to make it seem like this was the popular sentiment around the National Football League. It wasn't that. It wasn't the popular sentiment. But there definitely was a feeling that Kansas City had regressed, the dynasty was over, and the AFC was up for the taking. That was the belief that people had. Fast forward, now heading into week eight, we're almost at the halfway point of the season. How many teams in the National Football League are better than Kansas City? Because I'm watching a team right now that's second in points scored and has a top five defense in the league right now and can only go up from here offensively. They've just had their best player on offense for one game in three practices. So we're talking about a team right now that has shown you they can put up a lot of points in a defense that has shown you they can get stops. So the king, stay the king. We began this journey believing the Chiefs were the best team in the AFC. Halfway through this journey, I believe Kansas City is the best team in the AFC. The king, stay the king. So that's one side of it, right? And the NFC, I think we all have been guilty of this in some capacity. We all have tried to point out something being wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles. I know I've noticed it at times. Something about it just feels a little bit different than last year. Now, a major part of that is Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is averaging 3.3 yards per carry. Philadelphia ain't winning the Super Bowl if they don't get a much better version of Saquon Barkley than they've gotten so far through the first 8 weeks of the season. But we threw a lot of dirt on Jalen Hurts and tried to tell ourselves, see, I told you so. And yesterday against a very talented defense, against a very good team on the road, he went out there, threw for 300 yards. Devontae Smith had a big day. A.J. Brown had a big day. And once again, Philadelphia is in the conversation for best teams in the NFC. No matter how things change, they seem to stay the same. The Steelers still look like the Steelers. The Chargers still look like the Chargers. The Chiefs look like themselves. The Eagles look like themselves. Tampa Bay can score. Detroit can score. It's been a lot of turnover, but for the most part, the main characters have stayed at the forefront. But like with any television show, you got to introduce new characters. It wasn't the same people in The Sopranos for all seven seasons of it. They introduced new characters. That's how it was in The Wire. You know, seasons one and two are about the Barksdales. Well, whenever they start going to jail, the drug game continues to move forward. And now new people start selling drugs and taking over those corners. And that's where Marlo pops up. Marlo might have been the toughest one, the baddest one of them all. I mean, nobody really likes Marlo. Certainly not the way you liked Avon and Stringer. But you know what? He was on the show, too. He counts. I kind of feel like that's the Colts right now. Now, I'm not saying that they're going to win the Super Bowl or anything. I'm not telling you that I believe that when it comes to the Colts. But for the Colts to go on the road and win that game against the Chargers by 14 points. And so far, this Chargers team has a win over the Broncos, who look like they're going to be competitive for the entire season, to go on the road and beat the Los Angeles Chargers. They got a home game coming up against Tennessee, who looks like they're the worst team in the AFC this side of the Jets. I mean, this Colts team is going to be a very dangerous contender for that one seed. I think we're looking at a Colts team that could potentially go 13-4 and put themselves in the mix to host the AFC championship game. Now, I'm not saying you need to be afraid of the Colts. I'm not saying anybody's going to be afraid of the Colts. but they've scored more points than any team in the AFC. Their defense looks very complete. Right now, they have the offensive player of the year in Jonathan Taylor, who has been the best running back in the National Football League. This Colts team every week is doing a little bit more to show you why you should believe in them, why they're a little bit more seriously. So, Rob, I kind of feel like this week it was to show us who the established characters are and be reminded of how good those teams are. Philadelphia going on the road, Kansas City dominating an AFC West opponent, and also learning new characters. The Indianapolis Colts, I just don't think are going anywhere. I'm not saying they're going to San Francisco for the Super Bowl, but I'm telling you, that team ain't winning 9 games this season. That's a team that's going to win double-digit games. That's a team that can play defense, a team that can run the ball, a team that is getting decent quarterback play, and a team that seems to be well-coached. That's going to be a team that you're going to have to face at some point in January.
So, but that logic in tow, you would presume that the Lions are going to take care of business tonight, because the Lions have been, maybe not the Chiefs, maybe not the Eagles, but then they've been that second tier of the NFL. But I think you're right. We saw the true contenders start to kind of pull away this weekend. Because I remember, I don't know if it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, I forget the exact timeline, we did a segment where we said, I don't know. Who's good? I don't know. And who's bad? And me and you varied on who was in what category, but the general consensus from that segment was, boy, there's a lot of teams in the I don't know category. There's a lot of I think they're good, but I don't know. I feel like fast forward 2 weeks or 3 weeks from when we did that segment, and now I feel like I know. The Colts are in the good category. The Chiefs are in the good category. I believe the Bills are in the good category. The Lions are in the good category. And I think that good category is starting to add teams, and that good category is starting to look like teams that could potentially be Super Bowl good. I don't know that all those teams will make the Super Bowl, obviously, but I think you are starting to see, like in horse racing, you're making that second turn. Now the true contenders are starting to separate from the 66-1 underdog long shot types.
Well, I'm telling you right now that we continue to learn that the Chargers are not any one of those teams. The Chargers are the exact same. They're the exact same team that they were under Brandon Staley. They're the exact same team right now under Harbaugh. The same flaws, the same warts, the same imperfections. They're the exact same. They got off to a hot start where they went 3-0 in the division. Since then, they have lost 3-4. They were very, very fortunate to beat the Miami Dolphins a couple of weeks ago. That's not a good football team. They might win 9 games. Maybe they'll win double-digit games, and they'll end up making the playoffs, but they're going to be in the exact same point where they go on the road in the wild card round and lose in the first round of the playoffs. We're at the halfway point of the season, and the Chargers have shown me they're no different than they were in 2024, 2023, 2022. Basically, for the last 15 years, they are the exact same version of the exact same team.
I'm not trying to defend the Chargers, because you're right. What's crazy to me is their health staff is awful. Like, what happens to the Chargers every year is, I'm sure if I look back and pulled the archives of a show we did in week 8 of 2021, you know what we're talking about? Hey, the Chargers are pretty battered. Justin Herbert might be real, but he has no weapons and he has no time because of injury. Like, how, despite coaching changes, GM changes, regime changes, all these things, how have the Chargers never once developed a health and human conditioning department? Like, they are perpetually injured, and that will yet again undo their season, because they might make the playoffs, but they're done as being a Super Bowl type of team.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. Text line 913-586-7965. Let us know what you guys think. We're going through the games that we saw this past Sunday where we are starting to see some things shake out, so to speak, when it comes to the National Football League. Rob, let's transition for a little bit. Let's talk a little bit of college football, and we'll talk some Game 7 here coming up in about 20 minutes as well. We have a Game 7 today in the American League Championship Series between the Mariners and the Blue Jays. The winner goes on to face the Los Angeles Dodgers when it comes to the World Series. This is what I want to talk about with college football for just a bit. Rob, I don't say this with any shade, but this isn't something you have a whole lot of experience in, and that might be a little bit of shade now that I'm saying it out loud. There is nothing more rewarding in sports than watching your favorite college football team go on the road and get a hard-fought road victory. It's different than in the National Football League. I can't explain it, but it's just different in college football when your team in conference play at night on the road, you got 80,000, 90,000, 100,000 people screaming, and your team calmly goes out there and figures out a way to win. I'm telling you that I've watched Missouri football my entire life, and I knew just going into this one, you know what? I felt like the team was going to feed off of my energy even though I was at home. So I was like, you know what? All I want is positive energy for the whole game. If you text me some nonsense about Mizzou, I'm not replying to you during the game. Why are you trying to send this negative energy to my phone? I don't want it. It's about taking care of business, going on the road at Auburn, and doing what needs to be done. Missouri was down 17-10 in the fourth quarter of that game, and the offense, it wasn't getting a whole lot done. Ahmad Hardy, who we were talking about being a guy who had a chance to win the Heisman Trophy, was getting bottled up, couldn't run the football. A quarterback who couldn't really push the ball downfield. It was all on him. It was all on his shoulders. It was his responsibility. And I kept the hopefulness. I kept the optimism because that's what they needed, because they feed off of our energy. They went down the field and scored. It's 17-17. I started to breathe easy. But of course, when you're going on the road in conference play, it'll never be easy. You then get to overtime. Missouri's defense, oh my goodness, puts together a dynamic first series. Auburn misses the field goal. Wait, you were telling me all Missouri does, all they need to do is make a field goal and they can win this thing? I'm not even factoring in the fact that Missouri had a chance to win the game in regulation. They had first and 10 from the 30-yard line, and then they go backwards 27 yards. Let's get back to overtime. Now Missouri's got the ball. All they need to do is make one kick. They win the game on the road. Of course they missed the kick in overtime. But I never let my head get down. I never got discouraged. I never was worried about this because I know that Missouri is playing for a higher destiny. They're playing for the college football playoff. You wouldn't know anything about that. And Rob, in overtime, Missouri goes down the field, scores the touchdown. They missed a two-point conversion. I was a little worried, but you know what? I've come this far. I wasn't going to let negativity creep in because there's no need to. And I saw that defense make play after play after play. And when Missouri won that game, and I saw Eli Drinkwitz on the field, and he's so proud of the guys, and I'm proud of them. You guys know that jolt of energy you get when your team has a good win. I'm pacing back and forth. I'm talking to myself. I'm convincing myself Missouri can win the national championship. I'm fired up. There's no better feeling. There's no rewarding feeling as a sports fan than to watch your team in college football go on the road and get a big win. I'm not even looking at the text line because I know you guys are going to start here. No, Auburn was only. I don't care what Auburn's record is. It's a 6:45 kick at night in SEC play. It's always going to be tough. It's always going to be difficult against one of the best defenses in the SEC. But watching them pull it off, oh my goodness, it was so rewarding. Rob, sharing this excitement with me, I want you to experience that. Don't you guys got a big road game coming up soon? I want you to feel that same excitement that I felt on Saturday night watching Missouri go down there and beat the Auburn Tigers.
I assume Mizzou does this. I think every team in college football does this. The social media team posts a video of the celebration in the locker room. Like, you know, some teams have like the little chants and things they do. You see these things. I saw Houston did a big thing. The Instagram video after a big win on the road in the locker room. It is just so much more enjoyable as a fan to watch that when it's in the visitor locker room. It's usually the visitor locker room is usually the size of a small bathroom for an apartment, but everyone's going nuts in their pads. It does not matter the quality of opponent you're facing on the road. Carrington, me and you talk about this a lot when it comes to college sports. A lot. Road games are tougher because, A, the environments, generally speaking, are tougher, and two, getting 18 to 22-year-old kids to lock in on the road is not easy. So I don't 100%. Care that Auburn's 0-3 in the league. I'm not even going to hate on Missouri. You went on the road, and you won in double overtime. Good for them. I will say one quick thing. Eli Drinkwitz acting like that field goal got made in the first overtime was absolutely hilarious to me.
I don't know what he was doing to making it. I was so confused.
Like, he was so excited running out.
He was like midfield. I'm like, he missed. What are you? Are you not watching the game? Are you not paying attention? See, I see the text line right now trying to throw dirt on this win for Missouri. I mean, the losses for Auburn were at Oklahoma, at Texas A&M, and at Georgia. I mean, a lot of teams would be 3-3 if those are the games that you had. So I actually think Auburn was a little bit better than their 3-3 record. None of it matters. I'm watching college football the same way that you guys are watching. You see every single week there's pitfalls. I just saw Miami lose at home to Louisville. I just saw Texas Tech go on the road and lose to Arizona State. Anybody can be beat right now in the sport. I saw Alabama in week one lose to Florida State. Florida State's about to fire their head coach. I saw Penn State have a fourth quarter lead against Oregon. 3 weeks later, they fired their head coach. I don't apologize for any win right now in college football. You got to rack them up. I never thought I would say this. We've never been able to say this in the history of college football. The winner of Missouri and Vanderbilt is in the driver's seat to make the playoff. You'd have to think that they are. Whoever wins on Saturday between those two schools, they put themselves in a position where, in theory, you control your own destiny when it comes to the college football playoff. You will be halfway through your very rough stretch if you're Mizzou, and you will have beaten Vanderbilt on the road, which is a good win. I don't care what they look like historically as a program. If you go on the road and beat Vanderbilt in 2025, that's a good win. You got A&M down the line. You got Oklahoma down the line. You just got to take care of your own business and you will find yourself in the college football playoff. Same thing if you're Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt controls their own destiny when talking about the college football playoff. Rob, have you looked at their schedule down the stretch?
I was aware of their schedule. I haven't looked at it in a while.
So Vanderbilt has home against Missouri. They'll go on the road and play Texas.
Texas is not what we thought Texas would be. 100%.
Home against Auburn, home against Kentucky, mm-hmm. on the road against Tennessee.
Tennessee's a tough one for them, but.
But if you're telling me Vanderbilt is then 10-2 potentially at the end of the season with losses on the road at Alabama and Tennessee, I'm going to argue that Vanderbilt should be in the college football playoff if that ends up being the case. I know we can't technically have a playoff game in the middle of October, toward the end of October. Man, it feels like Saturday in Nashville is a playoff game between Missouri and Vanderbilt, and the winner of it absolutely is in the driver's seat to grab one of the at-large bids in the SEC.
I agree with what you're saying. I don't know I love the term driver's seat, and maybe this is semantics. I know what you're saying about, hey, if a two-loss SEC team, you feel like they can make the college football playoff. Mizzou's schedule is still very tough down the stretch. Like, even if they get past Auburn, they still have on the road in Norman and A&M, and Arkansas looks a little spicier now than they were under Sam Pittman, and Mississippi State is not great, but I mean, they look a little spicier than you think. Like, I'm not saying Mizzou is not making the playoff. I think right now you would bet they do make the playoff more than they don't, but I don't know the term driver's seat because there are still so many potholes on the road for Missouri.
It's a bunch for sure. I mean, it's a bunch in the SEC for everybody right now. It feels like Alabama. I guess you could probably throw A&M in that conversation if you want to, but they're still Texas A&M, so they're just Southern Missouri. And then it feels like there's six other teams in the SEC that all have a chance. I think the exciting part about the SEC is a lot of these teams play each other. Missouri plays Oklahoma down the stretch. Missouri plays Vanderbilt this season. Texas still has a couple of those big games left. Texas still plays Georgia coming up in a couple of weeks. So a lot of those potential playoff elimination games, they're going to happen in the SEC over the next 3 to 4 weeks.
It is. I actually talked to Drew about this when we were making the change, like, you know, 155, when Cody and Gogo off the air before we come on the air. And we were talking about, usually the SEC, you know, has their, you know, they puff their chest out, oh, we're the best league, blah, 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 blah. I don't know the best team in college football in the SEC this year, but man, everyone from like 3 through 16, like that could make the playoff. You're a team that you're like, oh man, I think they're pretty good. They just have this one blemish on their resume. All those teams exist in the SEC. Missouri is part of this group. You mentioned Vanderbilt's part of this group. I think that Ole Miss remains part of this group. Georgia is part of this group, by the way. I know Tennessee has taken a second loss, but Tennessee, I think, was in that group. Like, Oklahoma only has one loss. They're in that group. Like, there is a big grouping of teams that you're like, I think they're really good and might make the playoff, but I don't know they can do it with their schedule. That is tier two in the SEC, because I do think Bama has established themselves a tier one. They're going to all beat up on each other, and I don't know how it affects the things in the playoff, but it makes the last 5 weeks, 6 weeks of college football very fun. And for you, someone who told me that the playoff was going to diminish the value of the regular season, there is no greater value in the regular season than from now until the end of the SEC, because every week's a playoff game.
No, I ended up being wrong about that. I can admit now my hindsight is 20/20. The college football playoff was absolutely the right and correct move when in the sport, and has increased the intrigue of the regular season, because now just more and more teams have an opportunity of being in it and going to those prestigious games and bowl games and being able to end up hosting a team when it comes to the college football playoff. Rob, let's transition a little bit. Let's talk a little bit of baseball. We'll get back to Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get you ready for Game 7 coming up later today between the Mariners and the Blue Jays. We got a Game 7 tonight in Major League Baseball. I wonder if you guys think that Shohei Ohtani, he has gotten to the point that he does things that we have never seen before. And at the end, it's like, oh, that's cool.
Ohtani, oh. Did he? Ohtani! Ohtani has done it again! His third home run!
I think it is possible. I don't even think this is some hot take. I think this is like very obvious. I think Shohei Ohtani just played the greatest baseball game that we've ever seen. They've been playing baseball for a very, very long time. I mean, like since the 1800s, they've been playing baseball. No baseball player has ever, and I mean ever, had a better game than what we just saw Shohei Ohtani did. He hit three home runs. That's only the 13th time that's ever happened in the postseason of baseball. So he had three home runs. That within itself would be pretty remarkable. He then pitched six scoreless innings, allowed two hits, and struck out 10 while in the same game hitting three home runs. That's a video game character. And it's like we've known this whole time with Shohei, and I don't know if it's because he's not from America or he's not just in our face 24/7. I don't know what it is. But I don't ever want us to be at the point where Shohei does something like this and it's just like, oh, that's cool. No, it's not just cool. It's possibly the greatest thing that anybody has ever done on a baseball field. Anybody. Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr., Babe Ruth, Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle, doesn't matter. They've never done what we just saw happen this past weekend. So that should be the top story in sports, and that should be the top story of sports every day for the rest of our lives. Hey, can you guys believe what Shohei Ohtani did in a baseball game? Not just like a random Tuesday in May against the Philadelphia Phillies. No, I mean in the postseason with the World Series on the line, he threw six innings, gave up two hits, struck out 10, and then when it was his turn to hit, he hit three home runs in the same baseball game. We are living in the era of the greatest baseball player that we have ever seen. So I know right now college football is great. I know that the NFL is great. I'm not here to diminish any of those things. But everybody should take time today and just celebrate what we just saw this weekend from Shohei Ohtani, because he is the only human being that we have ever seen that has the capability of doing anything quite like we just saw. We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. We'll talk a little Game 7 of the ALCS. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive, brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes showed us his best acting ability. Here he is talking about who playing the fake on 4th and 1.
I think it comes from all my State Farm commercials. No, I'm joking. The Nags actually came up with the idea. You know, we had talked about doing the hard count, trying to draw the teams off sides. I can't remember who I watched do it a couple years ago, and they had said that, and so I was like, I'm going to use that as part of my acting to like try to get the defense just to relax a little bit. But at the end of the day, we still got to go get it. And I thought the offensive line did a great job of driving off the ball, and then Kareem in those situations is money.
That was Patrick Mahomes talking about who planned the fake. We'll talk about that coming up at the top of the hour. Have the Chiefs. I mean, they just played with their food for basically 50 minutes. It was like the Chiefs realized pretty early on, like, oh, they can't really do anything to stop us. And the Chiefs were just out there just trying stuff. I mean, Gardner Minshew came in to run a trick play in the red zone. I mean, the Chiefs were just out there just doing anything in that game. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. But I want to play this for you guys because we got a game 7 today. Now, I didn't know this. I looked this up and I learned this because in basketball, the home team in a game 7 has a significant advantage. In the NBA Finals, the home team is 15-4 in game 7. In deciding games in the NBA playoffs, the home team wins around 65%. In Major League Baseball, it's 71-67 for the home team. So they have a slight advantage, but it's basically a coin flip today. We got a major sports day. We got 2 Monday Night Football games, and we also have a Game 7 in the American League Championship Series, and the winner goes on to play the Los Angeles Dodgers. We got a chance to catch up with Danny Wexelman for 5 good minutes, and we talked about that coin flip that is coming up later today in Toronto.
Yeah, and listen, a lot of the numbers this season have kind of gone out the window, right? To score first. Usually teams that do that have the edge. That hasn't really been the case here. The one that does stand out is teams that are out-homering their opponents. That one does stand out. The numbers are staggering. If you're hitting home runs more than your opponent does, you're winning the game much more than your opponent is. And it's interesting because the Jays lost their first 2 games at home, right? To start the series, they got home field advantage because they won the American League East. They had the best record. They got the bye, and then they got home field through the ALCS. And you would think that that would have given them the advantage. Seattle came in and absolutely took up real estate. Cal Raleigh owns real estate here in Toronto at this point. How well they played going back to Seattle, you would think that the tides would turn in their favor, and then they dropped their first 2 at home. And don't forget, their fan base hadn't seen an ALCS victory at home since the year 2000, right? I think we barely had internet at that point, if at all. And so they finally got their win at home, the game 5, right? And lead this series. So I wasn't really sure what would happen when we got back here for game 6, right? Seattle just 1 game away. And the fans were incredible in the game yesterday. The roof was closed. It was loud. Vlad Guerrero Jr. put on an absolute show, and we all, actually my entire crew on MLB Network Radio, picked the Jays to win. We felt like there could be a game 7, and these are the best 2 teams in the American League. It's not a surprise we've gotten here, but home field hasn't seemed to matter much, and that's an okay thing. It just sucks for the fans who pay a lot of money and would love to see their team win at home. But otherwise, that's good for the teams, right? Because that means that just because you go on the road doesn't mean it's impossible to win a game.
Right now, we're talking to Danny Wexelman, getting you ready for tonight's Game 7 in the ALCS. I mean, it makes a lot of sense here, but if you look at the Blue Jays, it's really been how well does Vladimir Guerrero Jr. perform in these games, and that'll tell you if they win or not. In the Blue Jays' 6 wins, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is 15 of 26 with 5 home runs, 10 RBIs, and just 1 strikeout. It feels like that's the formula today. You get a great start from Shane Bieber, you get Vlad Jr. being fantastic, and that's how you advance to the World Series.
Yeah, listen. This is the big thing today. When Vladdy walks up to the plate, will George Kirby intentionally walk up? Will they throw up the four fingers and give him the free base so they can defuse his bat, right? You got to disarm Vladdy in some way. They know that. Everybody knows that. He's got 6 postseason home runs. You just read those gaudy numbers. He is feeling some sort of way. You should have seen him on the field last night. I got a front row view when Hazel May postgame asked him, are you ready for a game 7? And all he did was pause and look around at the crowd, soaked it in, and said, I was born ready. Good luck stopping Vladdy. But I will say, to your point, what the Jays do really well is they do have a lineup that has a lot of length. Ernie Clement is at the bottom of that lineup, and Ernie Clement has the second most hits on this team. He's done a fantastic job down there. Andrés Giménez, their shortstop, he's in because Bo Bichette's been injured. Andrés has had some big games in the middle of the series as well. And so what the Jays do well, along with having Vladdy and George Springer, right, and even Alejandro Kirk, who's gone off and he's the catcher, they actually have a lineup that is much more deep than the Mariners. You can trust more guys in that lineup, especially Ernie Clement. Circle Ernie Clement to do something special tonight. But it is all about Vladdy. And here's the thing, is that you paid him $500 million in the offseason. You got your face. You got the guy that kids will grow up watching and idolizing here in Canada, in Toronto. But not only that, he's been a star. You know how hard it is to be a star on the biggest stage? It's hard. That's why the postseason MVPs aren't always the guys you're as familiar with. Vladdy has become a star. He is a star, and he's proving it here on the stage.
Going through some of the storylines, getting you ready for Game 7 coming up later today. Kyle Riley didn't have a great Game 6. It seems difficult to think that Seattle wins and advances if they don't get a great performance from him tonight. Did you vote for him for American League MVP? Do you think he should win the award?
You know, it's kind of you to think that I get a vote for the MVP. If I had a vote, yes, I would vote for Kyle Riley. And you're right. Your point is right. He and Julio have been the Energizer Bunnies for the lineup. They've made them go, and they're critical. They're absolutely critical. Without them, that team doesn't go, so to speak. But yeah, he's the MVP for me. Listen, Aaron Judge had an historic season, and you're not wrong voting for Aaron Judge, but Cal Raleigh is catching a top 5 pitching staff in the league. He's hit the most home runs by a switch hitter, the most home runs by a catcher, and what he's done this postseason is come up clutch time and time and time again. Game 6 was an anomaly. He made an error. He was flat at the plate. It was uncharacteristic of the guy that he is. He didn't have one pass ball in the regular season. Not one pass ball in every single game that he caught. It didn't come until the postseason. And so Cal's their heartbeat. Cal's their guy. And they absolutely need his bat to be impactful. He's got to take competitive at-bats. And Julio as well. Julio at the top of that lineup now. He took over 2 games ago for Randy Arozarena. Julio is locked in. Expect Julio to do big things tonight. And if he doesn't, then the Jays are probably looking pretty good.
That was Danny Wexelman with MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM Channel 87, getting you ready for tonight's Game 7 between the Mariners and the Blue Jays. Coming up at the top of the hour, I have found some Reddit threads that you guys will absolutely want to hear about the Raiders. They were, as you would imagine, going through it. Now, Rob, you know I love you to death. You are my brother, and I will defend you from now until the earth ends. Downstairs. But from the text line, I will not defend you. In fact, sometimes I will throw you to the wolves because this is what I hate about the show. There are not many negatives that comes to doing this show. I really enjoy being here. Rob can say anything and you guys will then lump me in with Rob's opinion. Like, wait, I didn't say that. The text line right now is like, oh, why are you changing your tune on the Chiefs? Last week you didn't know. I had him 2nd on my power ranking last week. Rob was the one that didn't have him in his top 5, didn't have him in his honorable mention. You guys remember 2 weeks ago when we did the exercise where it was write down all the teams in the NFL you think are good? I had the Chiefs in that category. Rob only had Buffalo in that category. I got to start standing up for myself a little bit more on this show, because y'all be getting away with murder on the text line when it comes to me. Y'all will attribute any opinion to me. Y'all say stuff I didn't say. That's not right. I got to fight. Look at you, Rob. You're not even saying nothing. You're not going to defend your take.
First off,
you look confused. You look perplexed. What are you perplexed about?
First off, I had the Chiefs as honorable mention. Second off, 2 weeks ago, you know what's changed? A lot has changed in 2 weeks.
No, I knew. I saw it coming.
2 weeks ago, when I had the I don't know category, you know what they hadn't done? Beating the Lions. Like, you know what they hadn't done? Gotten Rashee Rice back.
Yeah, I picked them to beat the Lions.
We did the exercise after they lost to the Jags. The same text line that melts down and says fire everyone after a loss cannot then turn around and be like, see, we saw the vision.
No, you can't have it both ways. No, I'm telling you. I just don't like how I always get roped in with your nonsense. I got to defend enough of my own takes. I got to defend my takes and your takes. I'll defend you downstairs to Roxanne. I ain't defending you to Ron and Olathe. I can't do both. I can't stand up for you. Coming up at the top of the hour, let's go through the Raiders Reddit page for a good laugh, shall we? We'll do that next. Keep it right here, it's The Drive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.